This episode of Let the Hate Flow Through You is brought to you by Brett Fox.
It's your boy Jay Shee, here to talk about battle rap. That's right, I'm a roast battler, and I'm also a fan of battle rap. Especially Akron's king of underground battle rap, Dallas Cash. Over 115,000 views on Verse Tracker when in battle to battle from Ohio to Cali. You can catch him Saturday, August 12th. VIP Customs, 876 East 105th Street for only $30. Get the death penalty. That's right, it's the death penalty. Somebody's going to die, but it ain't going to be Dallas Cash. He goes up against Shot Tip in many other battles. Nobody hopping up from the crowd. Armed security is there to keep you safe, but not safe from these sick rhymes. August 12th, VIP Customs, catch Dallas Cash. Rising Artist's debut single is out right now. You can find him on Twitter at I Like Dallas Cash or his website, IHateDallasCash.com. He's a complicated man. See him Saturday, August 12th.
That's Brett Fox.
This is Nick Urich, and you're listening to Let the Hate Flow Through You with Jeremy Shear and El Jordano Diablo.
Hate Flow Through You, your weekly dose of audible hatred. I'm Jeremy Shear.
And I'm hungover.
Say your name, stupid.
El Jordano Diablo.
And joining us this week to discuss a topic near and dear to all of your hearts is the founder of the Burning Bridges Comedy Festival and the Race to the Coffin Comedy Tour, currently on tour across the Midwest, Mr. John Dick Winters.
How's it going, everybody?
Welcome.
I say everybody, assuming people listen to this.
Oh, you are correct in your assumption. You would be surprised. So, John, why do you hate pop culture savants?
I've just noticed over the past few years that people mistake liking things for having a personality. You know what I mean? Like, you ever see people who just thought they have like pizza shirts and pizza hats, and their Instagrams is like they all eat pizza? And it's like everyone eats pizza, man. Like, mm-hmm. Dude, what do you like? Are you a person inside? Like, this all stems from I had a relationship with a woman a few years ago, and when I met her, I thought she was amazing and cool and funny and original. But a few months in, I'm like, oh, you just drink Four Loko and put it on Instagram, and you're empty inside. There's nothing there.
Well, Four Loko would burn her insides out.
Ugh, sickeningly sweet. I don't know. It seems like it's just a natural evolution of meme culture.
I guess. I just, you know, people get into the things they get into, and then they never really find themselves. I mean, it's great to like things. We all like things.
Yeah.
There's nothing, I'm not dogging that at all.
You're not going to dog pizza.
No, I'm not. Pizza is not the culprit here. I just think, you know, you never find yourself, some people, especially of our generation, we don't have personalities. We don't cultivate these things. We don't cultivate skills, a lot of us, or whatever. And we fill that with just stupid shit. We fill it with Star Wars trivia, and we fill it with, oh, I had these amazing tacos, and whatever. And it's very, very hollow and vacant. Like, I don't have like the psychology behind it, but like, it's definitely a generational thing, because it just only started happening.
Tacos and pizza, everything you're talking about, is like, it's like the new weather. It's like people small talk. And I'm like, I don't give a fuck where you got your good tacos.
It's more than that, because people don't own the weather like it makes them an individual. People right. take these things that millions of people like, and they try to cultivate it into their own original persona. And like, you can't take something that everyone likes and think that you're an original because you like it. And like, people, and then nerd culture is a big thing. Like, people own this nerd thing, which is great, mm-hmm. but then they're defining themselves because they like Wolverine or something. It's just like, that's not, you've really missed the point
right.
on a lot of things.
It seems like that's a more recent thing, yeah, like you were saying, it's just our generation, because prior to Marvel movies breaking, nerd culture was kind of hidden in the basement, and now that it's out in public, we're now seeing it. But I think that's always kind of been a thing.
Like my brother, my older brother, who's in his early 40s, he has sleeves on his, he has tattoo sleeves on his legs. One side's Decepticons and one side's Autobots. But he would never identify his personality
okay.
with Optimus Prime and Megatron.
I have a tattoo from Batman. I have one from Conan the Barbarian, but that's not
who
I am.
You're exactly the problem. No, but like, but there's a difference. Yeah. I have band tattoos and stuff, but like, if you talk to me as a person, I would think that you wouldn't, I don't identify myself as like a punk rock person, and that's all that I am right. or whatever. But we know that these 20 somethings and early 30 somethings, they're just like, everything is The Simpsons or just whatever thing that they've latched onto. And really, the things that I've noticed the most are either alcohol, tacos, pizza, Star Wars, or I'm either a DC or a Marvel person.
Yeah.
There's also one thing I noticed on the online dating scene is people have a strong opinion of the Oxford comma, like it's important to anybody.
Wait, why?
I see it all the time because I online date a lot, and I enjoy it. I'm not talking shit on online dating because it's I highly recommend it if you do it right. Mm-hmm. But yeah. There's always a thing on a profile, like a woman's profile, that says, "And I am a strong proponent of the Oxford comma," but they say it as if it's like it makes them something that they're not. It's such a weird thing to take such a strong stance on.
I don't know. I think it's a more polite way to say I'm a grammar Nazi.
I guess. I think it's a hidden way of saying that I have no personality and nothing to add to you as a person.
This is the most important thing about me that you need to know.
Yeah. That's so weird.
Left.
Well, no, probably still right.
I know how to deal with this.
I can have a date with anybody. it's not going to go anywhere. But yeah, I don't know where it comes from. The culture has shifted so much, and young people are just, I don't know, so many of us seem so just empty, and we don't have, I don't, what do you think it is? Like, what, it's just like, our elders, our parents, like, I'm not saying they're like heroes or anything, but like, they were just themselves, or they were just going to work, and they never thought about this.
Well,
shit.
I think that generation is like more defined by work, like what their career like was,
which
or is
another set of terribleness, but
right.
Like,
yeah, I mean, it's like, it's different, so I mean, it's, each generation has their shitty thing,
yeah,
but like ours is definitely like it's pointless, it's meaningless, like it doesn't fucking matter.
It just like seems as though everyone's striving for individuality, which is not a terrible goal, but then people are just missing the mark, and like, you're not an individual if your favorite band's the Beatles, man. It's
right,
just like,
right.
That everyone likes that shit. Yeah. It's so fucking crazy to me.
Yeah, it's I think part of it too is that pop culture is kind of balkanized, where you can be a punk rocker in public and it's not like a bad thing anymore. You can find other people to relate to, and since you're only like relating to those people because you're still going out and having a life, you're just talking in basically inside jokes amongst that one group of people.
Yeah, it just seems like people are very desperate for everyone to know what they like and where they stand on these issues that basically everyone likes. Everyone likes the Marvel movies. Everyone likes Star Wars. And obviously, everyone likes pizza. It's so weird that like you insist that everyone knows that you also like it, but hey, you might like it more than other people.
Yeah.
Like, that's how people are defining themselves. I like it more. No, you like pizza? No, you don't understand. I really like pizza.
I sexually identify as pepperoni. Slice me up and put me on a pie. No, it's it used to be Pirates versus Ninjas. That was what people really got behind in like the mid 2000s.
Was it?
Yeah.
I must have missed that.
Yeah, that way over my head.
I've been to like themed parties before, but I didn't know that was something that people were like.
I just remember going to parties and watching fist fights break out because somebody liked pirates and it was ninja people. I'm not exactly sure.
That might have been your personal experience.
I would light somebody on fire for fighting about that.
Well, I mean, I'm trying to think. No, I lit somebody on fire at a different party.
It used to be my go-to. I would just like, if people would piss me off and I'd leave them smoking a cigarette, I'd just like go to light their shirt on fire. Not actually do it. I don't do that enough anymore, and I should...
You should start lighting people on fire again?
Yes.
All right.
You should start with the mirror.
It's broken.
Is mercury flammable? I hope so.
It's broken. Your mirrors are just like Ray Fiennes from Red Dragon. They're just all broken.
Yeah. I love Ray Fiennes.
No, I'm of the opinion.
But I like him more than you.
Well, I'm a big Harry Potter fan.
I identify as Ralph Fiennes.
Yeah. So, you're a big Harry Potter fan.
Yeah.
Too.
I gave myself a Harry Potter tattoo.
Oh, really?
Drunk on Easter when I was 30.
We just had Potterfest in Kent last night.
What's that?
They turn Acorn Alley into whatever the alley is from the books.
Dagon Alley.
Yeah.
Dagon Alley. Well, that's another one. Where people are like, I'm a Ravenclaw. I'm a Slytherin. No, are you?
You know that's not real, right?
It's like we can't all be Gryffindors. Like I love Harry Potter and I love that stuff, and my daughters and I love it. But like, yeah, people go crazy with that shit. It's insane.
I like how you're getting all judgy about it, Mister. I'm a Slytherin.
Oh, I am though, without a doubt. Why wouldn't I do that? I go back on my words all the fucking time. People yeah. know that. That's why I'm fucking not interesting. That's the wrong word.
Are you a Slytherin only because you're fat and no one likes you?
Mostly because I look like Goyle.
Yeah, that's exactly kind of what I was saying. He's fat. No one liked him. Didn't he die in a fire?
Yeah, that's what I'm planning on.
Yeah. You will
like
eventually.
You said, light myself on fire.
Yeah. There's a theme developing. I like this. I wish this was a video cast.
We're just planning out my suicide here, everybody.
No, but I think BuzzFeed has something to do with this. They're keep coming out with the quizzes, which Harry Potter house would you be in?
Yeah.
Which type of pizza?
I know that all this stems from something innocent because we all like the things that we like, and you know, identifying as a Slytherin is a joke. But like, some people take this. Like, my true issue is just with these people who just have nothing else in their life. They go to their, they manage their Hot Topic or whatever. They all definitely manage a Hot Topic.
Yeah.
And then there's nothing like people want. Like, they identify with other people's creativity. Mm-hmm. And they think that's a replacement for their own creativity, and it's not. And it just really creates shitty, horrible people.
It does.
Like for the most part, it is innocent to like whatever it is you like. But like, there are this subgroup of people who just don't get it. Don't get that this is just something fun, and they truly like lean into it to a point where it's like it's upsetting me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think a part of that is with. The way internet culture works now, because I blame the internet for all of this, because you can...
I still blame Jews.
Fair. We did create the system that is providing this entertainment for you, so you're welcome. But
Jeremy,
also,
are you a chosen person?
I am.
I didn't know that about you.
Yeah.
Ah, man, I wouldn't have scheduled this podcast.
I am. I'm culturally Jewish.
Really?
Because so
you're not funny enough to be.
Yeah.
Like, that's, you're funny, but you're not Jew funny.
No, I'm not Jew funny. I'm not Jew funny enough. I'm not clean either. So like, no, I can't use.
Nothing.
Yeah, I can't use that to my advantage at all. Like, if I was more Seinfeldy, maybe I could go out to L.A. But I'm not.
It doesn't help that you hang out with a fat, bald, white guy all the time, too. Yeah. That does not look good for your Jewish. Whatever the fuck word I'm looking for.
Is this cat limp?
There's
a cat here, and it's very overweight, and it limps.
No, I think Paul is just crip walking. Paul identifies as a gangster from East L.A. That's probably the wrong neighborhood, and I'm going to get yelled at by our LA listeners.
I just said Compton. It's fine. It doesn't matter.
Okay, fine. Thanks for picking
your LA listener.
Yeah. I think it's like in the double digits, but under 20.
Yeah, that seems about accurate. But no, it's now that the internet exists, it's much easier to find people with similar interests. And because the way internet culture is now, like, authorship of content isn't as important.
Yeah.
So you can just take stuff that other people have made and make it a part of your personality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I certainly don't have a solution for it. And as somebody who has a horrible personality, I just don't want it to get so bad. I don't want it to get so bad where I need to say I'm like part of the Rebel Alliance just to get laid or whatever. I don't know what.
Dude, if that fucking worked, I'd do it. Are you kidding me? Rebel, Imperial, the fucking Bounty Hunter Guild? I don't give a fuck.
I don't know. Most of the women I've seen naked have had Empire tattoos. So.
All two of them?
Yes, all two.
All the two women that he's seen naked for free have had Empire tattoos.
I haven't seen any Rebel tattoos, so I don't know if it's just not as aesthetically pleasing, but that's not what it is. But no, yeah, we appropriate Star Wars for part of who we are, obviously.
Without a doubt.
Because that's what this podcast is called.
Yeah, I mean, it's fucking... I love Star Wars, like, my favorite thing ever. I love it to death, but...
Have you watched... Most of the movies are bad. Most of them. I didn't like Rogue One. I fell asleep during it.
Rogue One took me, like, two or three tries to, like, really get into. The prequels are dog shit.
I don't like movies that I have to, like, I'm going to give it another chance. No. Like, you have one chance to impress me.
How white of you.
God. I'm very entitled.
That's the Unitarian in him.
Oh, my God.
No, why should I give it another chance? There's no reason for that. I already paid good money for it.
Like, chances are you did not pay good money for it.
Okay, that's fair.
I watched one Coen Brothers movie, didn't impress me. I've heard they've done good work since, but I'm never going to check it out.
I just watched the Hudsucker Proxy, and that was enough. Thank you very much.
That'd be amazing. That was the only Coen Brothers movie you've ever seen.
If only that were the case.
If the only Coen Brothers, if he had only seen one, it would be Barton Fink, and that would make total fucking sense.
I would see him more as a Raising Arizona guy. Identifying with John Goodman. guy knows. That guy's got his shit together.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm more of a Miller's Crossing. I've seen that a million times. So that was my shit.
Look at us identifying as movies. This is great.
Did he just identify as a movie?
No, I'm not identifying as Miller's Crossing.
I don't think he did that at all. I think he said he saw a movie.
Mm-hmm. I saw a movie, I enjoyed it, I've seen it multiple times, but that doesn't mean that if I took a BuzzFeed quiz right now, which Coen Brothers movies are you, I don't think it would be Miller's Crossing. I don't identify as a twisted morality gank play. And I'm not Irish enough to be.
This cat wants to be on the podcast so bad. That's another thing that that people get way into is cats.
Dude, people and animals in general, dude.
Well, cats, I mean, people wear cat shirts and cat hats, and then, like, they try to, like, make it not weird that they have seven cats.
Well, dude, when I was on OkCupid a few years ago, like, one of the girls that I matched with, every single one of her pictures... she had her dog in, or one of her dogs, and I was just like, all right, that's really fucking weird, like, that's how, what you put out there.
What, that she had love for a living thing?
And yeah, you don't understand that at all? I don't understand that at all.
I mean, you have a better chance if they love something ugly and slobbery.
Yeah. I really feel like you're, as far as the game theory of that goes, you're not handling it right. Yeah, I agree with Jeremy that...
Why does your dog have to be in every one of your fucking pictures?
You need to find a woman who loves pugs. And do your best.
Yeah. I'm giving up.
Pugs especially, because she's used to cleaning crust out of folds.
Fuck you.
Oh, hey, I just like how I say something that's lightheartedly mean, and he's like, no, you're disgusting fat. Oh, dude, he just goes, He shears it. He shears it up.
Yeah. I mean,
you kick the line, and I just
he pretty much over. What he does is tells me I'm fat and disgusting, and then tells me I have fuckable lips. So like that's all this podcast really is about. That's
if your lips weren't surrounded by that 1995 cholo goatee, I might agree with it.
Now you know why he's El Hordano Diablo.
Yeah,
it's all because of the cholo goatee.
That and Anton LaVey. That's who I identify as now. Identify as something every 5 minutes.
You should only be wearing like plaid shirts, button up to the neck, all the way up.
Oh, I've done it before.
Yeah,
I've done it before. I need to get
earlier
a
in
bandana
this
po- with a.
Earlier in this podcast, you said you were white, and that was me learning something about you. I did know that.
If I wasn't so pasty, you'd think I was a Mexican.
No, there's pasty Mexicans. There's pasty Latino people. I mean, Louis C.K. is Mexican.
That's true.
I mean,
he's got red hair.
Yeah, you can be your complexion in Mexican. It's really your personality and the general scumminess about you that I thought was maybe which is racist
that's
of me
the
to say.
I thought that was going to be the white part of me.
No, it can go either way.
Right.
I just thought your particular brand of trash was more of a Hispanic trash and not a white trash. But
wow.
I mean, yeah.
Well, let's get in my El Dorado.
You don't own a car.
No, I do not.
Yep. No, it's abandoned. Someone abandoned it and I live in it now.
I mean, you could live in a flipped over car, Jordan.
A flipped over car?
Yeah.
Something he has to crawl through the window of?
I did that when I broke my arm.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I forgot. I don't know you. I don't know your life. Was the car just trying to get away from you?
That's what I always tell people. I took a pretty high spot for my car. I hit a telephone pole and it flipped over. I was going 30 miles an hour on a flat road.
Were you drunk?
I was hammered. I was hammered.
Did you kill any children along the
way? No, I did not. There was luckily nobody even around. So, I mean, there was across the street. That's who called the ambulance. And the ambulance called the cops.
If I would have saw you get into a near-fatal car accident, I'd be like, you know what? He just waited out.
Oh, I mean, no. I've always said, like, whenever I tell that story, it's like, I bet there was at least one person. It was like, damn. Almost.
Almost got him. Another one crossed off the list. Well, if you were close to the rally, I'm sure they would have watched you die.
Oh, yeah. No, they probably would have lit the car on fire. They're like, oh, he should be fine. No, just kill him. No. Fuck that neighborhood.
I love that I do viscerally hate this concept that I brought up, this pop culture thing, but not enough to talk about it for more than 20 minutes. I do hate it, but I don't hate it enough for me to give a shit about it. That much.
Well, I mean, so you've brought up that you had this woman in your life that nailed the point home. Where else are you seeing it when you're out and about?
I mean, you see it everywhere. Like I have friends in my life that, you know, especially like things like Instagram or whatever. Instagram's the visual one, so that's how you actually see it.
Right.
People posting pics with this, that, or the other, identifying themselves with these things that are not important. But like, it's not just like one thing or two things. It's every day of their lives.
Mm-hmm.
Like I have two friends that I can think of that are just pizza obsessed. But like I eat just as much pizza. I would never think about taking a picture of the pizza that I'm eating and then bragging about it online. It's just I don't get it at all. I don't get how you get from one point to the other. Like, when do you start that habit? What happened to you? Like, what dreams did you have that failed now that you've replaced pizza with? Like, I do not understand it. Where, like, what is on your Instagrams? I don't follow either of you, nor will I after this podcast. But like, do you post just what you eat all the time, or do you post every time you think of a Star Wars thing? Like,
no, it's I just post what I don't think about it. Like, if there's something, like, I'm gonna put that on Instagram.
That's on brand for you.
I don't
It makes me sad. It makes me mad, but like after I get mad, I get sad about it. Like what is missing in their life that this is all they have?
This is the best thing going on right now, is this slice of pizza. I don't know, on my Instagram I can definitely say I've put too many pictures of Sachsenheim Hall's chicken paprikash on there. But I don't identify.
there's a dish that nobody knows where you're. For those of you listening, paprikash is a traditional Hungarian dish. It's paprika chicken. It's very good.
It's delicious.
Nobody knows what that is.
Yeah. No, well, I mean, this is This is Cleveland.
Yeah, that's a foodie town.
We like our ethnic foods here.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
Your pierogies.
I was trying to share. I wasn't like, we like our ethnic food, but not our ethnic people.
No, we love our ethnic. That's the great thing about Cleveland is, like, it's a bunch of different ethnics all thrown together, and we get along.
And I love you two guys just saying ethnics. All you ethnics.
He got me on that shit. That's like his favorite fucking word.
Yeah, I like being really racist to white people just so I can remind them that you're not that far along from people basically using the N-word to describe you.
You're
so,
fighting the good fight.
Yeah.
You're fighting the good fight, Jeremy.
Basically. I'm
fat,
trying.
Fat woke boy number one.
I saw Mike Kaplan the other night perform, and what did he say? He's like, we can all agree that Jews are the black people of whites. And then he's like, or just forget I said that.
It is accurate. That's something that I hate is I have a lot of black supremacist friends, and every now and again they decide to remind me that European Jews are not the real Jews, and you know,
that's weird because black African Americans aren't the real Africans. I'm not talking shit on them, but like it's just a weird thing to even want to separate for. Like, that's very counterintuitive and counterproductive to their own cause, yes?
It, you would think, but, you know, the point that they're trying to make is that the history that we've been taught in schools and our churches is wrong, and there's this secret conspiracy against black people that's worldwide.
So. I'm not sure how secret it is, but I'm not sure how much of a secret. I guess some people think it's a secret.
I think in America it's pretty on Front Street.
Yeah,
it's on YouTube every day. I don't know anything about the black supremacist movement. Is this a movement who wants to? Do they want to go back to Africa? That's not these people, right?
It's more of trying to elevate black consciousness to the point where black people are the supreme race.
Oh well, that's. You had me until the last part.
Yeah.
Elevate black people, and then you had me.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was on board until
you
the
lost
supreme,
me at supreme race.
Yeah, supreme race. The only thing supreme should be burritos.
Or pizza.
Yeah. Nope. I was making a Taco Bell joke. Patrice O'Neill has that fucking great joke about, like, black people need to shut the fuck up about going back to Africa. First off, Africans don't like black people.
That is correct. That is correct.
That's just a great observation.
I did a show many years ago at a place called the Blue Martini. And
where's that at? I think
it's Warrensville Heights.
Okay, never mind. I did a different show at a different place called Martini something. It was terrible anyway.
Yeah, this place was terrible, but they had, it was show up, go up for a little bit, and they had a guy get up. His name was The Blacker the Berry, the Sweeter the Juice.
Hell yeah. I love comics with names like that. They're always the worst, but the fucking best.
Yeah.
Like for me personally, but never for the audience.
Straight off the boat from Africa, he told me his comedy was top five.
Oh, I remember you telling me that story.
No, that's what he said. Top five. Like, that is an adjective, apparently.
Oh.
It's top five.
It's top five.
Yeah.
All right.
But he got up. He brought two big old white women with him to the show, sat them up front, and bragged about his white women to everyone in attendance. And he used the N-word to describe everyone in the audience more than I've seen the most racist white person do it. He actually got the shit kicked out of him by the owner of the bar after the show. I've never seen somebody so racist, and it was like an African dude that was doing it. I was floored.
That's my favorite story. My story about playing in a place called the Martini is way not as good, so I won't tell it.
All right.
Moving along.
So, which Taco Bell menu item do you identify as?
I'm just a regular soft taco fella. I'm not familiar with the Taco Bell menu, to be honest.
Chili cheese burrito all day.
Me too.
We look like chili cheese burritos.
Yeah.
No, you guys definitely look like you have the Taco Bell menu memorized.
Yeah.
Which is weird, because most times when I'm there, I'm fucking hammered.
You both look like if you go through the drive-thru and you're like, I'll have... They're like, Jeremy? Is that you?
There was a time in my life where that was the case.
No, there was. You'll like this. That Mike I used to host, the Rowley.
Yeah.
The one that you did. I used to get hammered and I'd drive through the steel yard and there was a steak, there's a Steak and Shake there. So like on Wednesday nights, I'd go there, I'd order food, and I don't like ketchup. So I wouldn't get ketchup on anything. I was known at that Steak and Shake for like a year and a half as the ketchup Nazi.
The ketchup,
yeah,
Nazi.
That's what, like that's,
for not liking a terrible condiment.
Yes, a very terrible condiment.
I come from Ketchup City, USA.
Right,
I'm a mayonnaise guy.
Yeah, mayonnaise all day.
Absolutely, mayonnaise adds some moisture to sandwiches that need it.
I'm not just talking about sandwiches. I'm talking about fries. I'm talking mayonnaise is the best condiment ever, and I'll fight you. Oh, well, I'm sorry. I'll light you on fire. I'm sorry, to take Jordan's.
Yes, please light me on fire and not fight me. I would like the cremation to be taken care of immediately.
Catch John Dick Winters on tour now. Lighting it on fire. Oh, the clubs? No, people.
Is that a metaphor? No, we wish it was.
He's actually on the run now.
He's not so much on tour as he is on the lam. But he's still somehow fitting in open mics.
I have a list of people, actually, if you would like to light people on fire.
Oh, great. Jeremy's going to talk about his fucking hit list.
No, do you have a hit list?
Of course I have a hit list.
The thing with you having a hit list is I don't think it's some like cathartic like metaphor or anything.
No, it's not a joke.
it's not a joke. I want these people dead.
It's not so much that it's not a joke that you want them dead. It's not a joke that I think that you will at some point have reach a breaking point that you follow through with it. Mm. That's the point. That's the part that I don't think is a joke.
Yeah. How are we going to podcast while you're in prison?
You're going to have to get a lot of money on my commissary because prison phone calls are very expensive. But fair it can enough. Be done. It can be done. I mean, if Mumia Abu-Jamal can podcast from prison, I can podcast from prison.
That's a direct corollary between that person who just said and you. Yep. I don't know who that is, but he sounds just like a Jeremy Shear type.
That name just screams Jeremy Shear to me.
It just seems like everyday lower middle class America to me, whatever that name was that I couldn't repeat.
Mumia Abu-Jamal was the guy that ran like a commune out in Philadelphia that got raided by the cops, and one of the cops got shot during the raid, and Mumia was charged with his murder and convicted, and there's been a big fight about his actual guilt for many years.
Why they raided this compound?
They were filthy hippies.
Well, that's fair. If they were just like going to their 9-to-5 and loving Star Wars at night, they don't bother anybody. Those people, the people we've been talking about.
Yeah. They tend to keep to their own little groups.
Yeah, I mean, they're annoying and they're harmless, but they're terrible people.
Yeah. I mean, the nice thing is that there's been, culture's become really balkanized to the point where if you're a person that all you really care about is comic books and board games, there's a bar for you and you can go there with a bunch of other people that think the same way. And I think that kind of reinforces it.
This is totally off topic. Do you guys ever deal with Zach Hudak anymore? Speaking of hates, you don't even know who we're talking about, do you?
No, I do. Yeah.
Okay.
We did an episode
about him.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. AJ Georgie came on and talked about how he hated Zach Hudak.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I just sent it to Tim on Twitter the other day, and he was like, he got back to us like, what, yesterday?
Yeah.
And he was just like, fuck that guy.
That's amazing, because he popped back up. Zach Hudak is this terrible comedian that lives about an hour outside of Pittsburgh, but he comes to Ohio because he's banned from everywhere in Pittsburgh. And he did the Shakers contest last week, and apparently he didn't get one vote. Of course
he
didn't.
Oh, yeah, no, I did.
Of course he didn't get one vote.
No, he's terrible.
And then he called Shannon Norman, which is a friend of mine in Pittsburgh. He's part of the Race to the Coffin, and called like Shannon Norman's mother like horrible things, called me John Dickless Winters, which is fair. And then Tim, he's very clever, Tim Fat Cunt Ross, just like called us the gays to the coffin tour. Which to his credit, kind of funny. Which gave me a chuckle, but like, yeah, he hasn't been around Pittsburgh in it's been like 2 years now, and he's still like really mad at us.
Yeah. Well,
fuck that guy.
Yeah, he's
racist piece of shit.
He's the drizzling shits. The last interaction I had with Zach Hudak, because I blocked him on everything, because I was just like, this is the correct way to deal with people like this, is give them no attention.
See, he blocked us on everything. He, that's how bad it got. Our trolling of him, he blocked us.
Oh, I loved when all that shit went down. That was so fucking.
We got to which time? We got to be more specific.
No, I mean, I just remember like on one of his posts, and Jesse and you were just fucking lighting him up, and I was just like, "This is great!" Like, I felt like that fucking from whatever they posted as a meme now, where Michael Jackson's eating the popcorn.
Oh,
the
yeah.
I'm like, this is fucking great.
Jesse's been the best. Jesse's great at it, because Jesse's horribly unfunny in person, but very funny on Facebook. If he could just go up on stage and just have a screen and just his Facebook posts, he would crush every time. But unfortunately, he has to bring his whole personality to people live, and it just doesn't work.
Curses. They used to have a show at Bella Dubby where they projected people's comments on the screen while comedians were on stage.
That's always helpful.
Jesse would crush at that. No, but with Zach, the last time I actually interacted with him, I was giving Dwayne Duke, gay black comedian, shit about bad black comedians and like, this is your boy. He brought up Zach Hudak's set at the Funny Farm and said, this is your boy. And I'm like, you're a piece of shit. And he's doing Holocaust jokes. And I was reminded about how much I hate him. Because that is somebody that, again, they think pop culture defines their personality. Unfortunately, the only pop culture that defines his personality is the Howard Stern show.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's somebody who, that's a great observation. Like, he loves the Howard Stern show, and he loves that raunchy humor, which is not my particular brand, but some people do it well. But he's one of the, he wants to do it, and he just misses the mark. Mm-hmm. So he just goes up and just screams cunt and says stuff about his mom, and then horribly racist shit.
Yeah.
And just,
we put a picture up with each episode.
Yeah.
And when we did that one, Shear put up a picture of one of his tweets where he calls somebody, I think in one tweet, he calls them a fag, maybe the N-word.
That sounds light for him, actually. Yeah.
Like, I'll look it up.
It's the one that got him banned from Twitter originally when he was threatening one of Tim's friends.
Yeah, he has threatened all of us with violence. That's been fun to deal with. And the thing with him, similar to you, that I think those threats are semi-credible.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, he did send Tim a picture of a gun, so that.
Oh, that you're missing a little part of that. He sent a picture of a gun next to his dick. it was a dick pic with a gun next to his like little chub dick, and he sent it to Tim Ross. Yeah,
I saw that picture, and he was not erect. What's the point?
He should have. Yeah, he should have jerked off a little bit before he sent the picture of the gun.
Just get a little chub, you know?
Yeah,
to Tim Ross.
Pump it up a little bit.
You know, you're thinking of Tim Ross, you'd get hard immediately.
Yeah. I do, because he's so goddamn funny.
I just think of Jackknife, and it's like, well, I'm done.
You just come right in your pants?
Yeah, Jackknife don't pull no punches, and I'm spent.
There's the one.
I'll read it. This is a quote.
Are you sure?
Do we know how to pronounce his name? It's Tariq Nasheed. I'm not sure how to pronounce the name. It sounds, I would assume, Muslim or... not American. Hey, fag little boy ass loving nigger, bring your knife to, this is his real address, everyone listening, to 823 State Route 2003, Rural Valley, Pennsylvania, so we can do the world a favor. Which is vague. I don't know what the favor is. Bring your knife. I mean, he's going to have a gun.
Yeah.
And it's going to be right next to his dick. I will repeat, 823 State Route 2003, Aurora Valley, Pennsylvania. And I'm pretty sure his phone number is still on my phone. Let me get that real quick. Let me get his phone number. Yeah.
The only reason he's at the Shakers Comedy Contest is because there are two people that currently tolerate him, Matt Wheels Onesti and John Huff. They book him, they pay him.
Wow, that's so weird. Anyway, Zach Hudak's home cell phone number is 724-525-3258. So text him some lovely things. I'll repeat his address. 823 State Route 2003, Rural Valley, Pennsylvania.
If you're ever in the area, stop by and leave a nice basket for him.
Yeah, it's about it's by Indiana, Pennsylvania. It's a horrible place. Mm. He's a horrible person. Follow Zach Hudak. I'm not even gonna promote my stuff.
No, don't follow him. He's just awful.
Well, that's how you troll him. You troll him. You say horrible things. He'll block you. You get him kicked off Twitter. It's a fun little circle. And if you live far enough away, there's no chance he's gonna find you with his guns. He actually kind of knows where we hang out in Pittsburgh, so that's upsetting.
Yeah, but he's not going to come out. He's got to know better by now.
No, he's not going to come out to perform. He might come out with a gun and shoot. Like, I really think he's capable of a mass. He's very unhinged. Mm-hmm. And I honestly think he's capable of a mass shooting.
So you get a Timothy McVeigh kind of vibe from him.
Timothy McVeigh carries some type of core values in. I actually think he's worse.
He had a mission statement.
I actually think he's worse than Timothy McVeigh, because at least like he had a McVeigh had an ethos and a manifesto and follow through. Where I'm not trying to like goad Zach Hudak into being that, but like he's such like an empty shell of like mental illness and pills. And and deranged delusions of grandeur that, like, I actually put him below a Timothy McVeigh or a Unabomber or whoever. Like I have a little bit of affinity in my heart for domestic terrorists. I really do.
Yeah.
Like, American terrorists who do, like, horrible, like, kill people. Like, I don't agree with the killing people, but I do agree with a lot of the thought process. Just, like, the things they stand for.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think your next shirt should be... Timothy McVeigh has core values.
Say what you want about Timothy McVeigh, but guy had follow through. He had ethics. One of them wasn't murdering people, but the other ones were okay.
Yeah, well,
he wasn't fucking around.
He had a work ethic. No, there's something to be said about those people.
I mean, he got an anarchy patch when he was a young boy, and that is what he identified as until he died.
Yeah, most people just go to Hot Topic and get an anarchy patch and miss the point, but he knew what was up for sure. Yeah,
he went to Revolution Books one too many times, and that was it.
People believe that he was helped by the government, right? That's one of the conspiracies.
I'm sure. That.
Yeah. They needed a false flag to... That's another group of people that are completely defined by one thing.
Conspiracy theorists?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I don't understand it, that your search for truth gets so warped that you can only believe, like, two-hour YouTube clips for where you get all your news.
Are you guys Kinane fans? Kyle Kinane fans?
Yeah.
He has the great bit about conspiracy theorists, how he's a conspiracy theorist, but he doesn't, like, he's not accepted by the real conspiracy theorists because he has his own conspiracies that no one takes seriously. Then he'll get into a conversation, and they're like, and that's why the moon landing was fake, because it's just a government... Excuse me, guys, I think that the parking lots at Trader Joe's are made smaller so they seem busier than they really are.
Hilarious.
He's brilliant, but like it's a good way to flip. Yeah, that's a whole group of people that like are obsessed with that culture, and even if there's some true conspiracies, they
I find it interesting, you know.
Oh, it's definitely interesting.
You know, it's interesting, but it's like, dude, I mean, you're a fucking, if that's what you do with your time in your life, like you're a crackpot, like that's what you think about all the time.
I don't disagree with you. You're not wrong, but there is a fine line between like conspiracy theories, because I feel like some of these are based in truth. Maybe not every aspect.
Agreed. Completely.
Of this conspiracy theory. So there's some part of me who identifies as this with those people because they want to find this truth. But there's also another part of me like. I don't know, where do you distinguish between it being just a curiosity to it being an obsession to it being like the truth? Like how they all overlap.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
The gauge of it. I mean, I do find them like super interesting, like all the Kennedy shit. Like there's no way what the government says happened. That's not, there's no fucking way that's even possible. But like the Hollow Earth theory with the reptilian people, I'm just like,
hell yeah.
I mean, it's cool, but I listened to a podcast the other day, and a guy was talking about it, and he goes, and I need these answers. I need them. Like, it's awfully awfully humble of you that I'm gonna find the truth. Fuck you. Nobody knows who you are.
I think part of it
you'll know when he finds the truth.
Yeah,
he
will.
And I'll be wrong that day.
But it's just, what evidence do you accept? And I think that people don't trust the government so much that they're willing to throw out stuff that's perfectly reasonable.
Logic?
Well, it's just, you know, people think the moon landing was fake because they don't trust the government so much they don't trust a fucking TV broadcast.
It is, however, interesting that we haven't been back to the moon since the 60s.
Right. Yeah, that isn't... Well, they fucked it up the one time.
The moon?
No, the Apollo 13. Yeah. They were supposed to go to the moon, and they fucked it up.
I don't know. I don't follow any of this stuff.
Watch the real boring Ron Howard movie.
Don't do that.
What Ron Howard movie?
Apollo 13.
Tom
Hanks and...
Yeah, Gary Sinise. Yep. I've seen it when I was a child.
Yeah,
you got to be more specific. Which boring Ron Howard movie? All of them? I couldn't name a second movie he's directed.
You know what? Why isn't American Graffiti the George Lucas movie that everybody latches onto and makes their cultural paragon? Why aren't we seeing more drive-in diners and terrible polo shirts?
You just want the whole world to be racist again, don't you?
What do you mean again?
He just wants a more wholesome racism. You know what I mean? Now it's just too dirty.
He wants burger and fry racism.
Yeah. He wants a milkshake with a cherry on top with his racism. And don't we all, really?
I mean, yeah, absolutely.
George Lucas, you ever notice he's not good at stuff?
Yeah, he's terrible. He's a hack.
Even like, the Star Wars movies weren't good. I mean...
He didn't even do the second one. That's the reason that one's the best one. Empire Strikes Back is because he didn't do it.
Who did it?
It was Irwin Kershner. No, it's Irwin Kershner.
I believe the lizard people did Empire Strikes Back. That's why it's the best one. That's
probably true. Like, dude, going back to the conspiracy theory thing, like there was, I was listening to one the other day, and this dude was talking about how he thinks, you know, well, people, there's a theory that George Bush Sr. is a like reptilian person, and there's like a video online where you can like see his eyes like flickering like a reptile does, and like he's like, if you watch the video, he turns his face and he tries to readjust his eyes and blah blah blah. And I was just like, and you found this on? And he's like, yeah, I watched it on YouTube. It's like, so that's where your credibility, like that's really what you pull from. Awesome. I would need somebody to sit down and explain it to me, man to man, woman to man, whatever.
So you get your all your
lizard
news from...
demand.
Like I said, whatever.
That would solve it. If someone said it, it's not explained to you, lizard demand.
I'm all in.
You're in that scenario. You're the man in that scenario.
Yeah. Oh, I'm not the. Oh, it's come
loose,
on.
It's
I'm
a
not...
loose definition of it. Yeah. Okay.
He's ashy, but not that ashy. Like right. He's not shedding skin.
I do have psoriasis, so I am. I'm just not reptilian.
That's the closest you're going to get to being a lizard person.
As I have psoriasis.
Like, I have to rub lotion on every day.
No, if he was a lizard person, he would use me as a heat rock when I sleep at his house, but he does not. So
Why do you sleep at his house ever?
Because, you know, sometimes we have to podcast together in the morning after Jordan has to do 5 shots of whiskey for a drinking game at a show that we did.
Yeah.
So it makes more sense for us to just be in the same place.
That's all you're struggling with was the 5 shots of whiskey?
No, just, I mean, in general, too.
How was the show last night, boys? What
it was
show?
Good. Me and Shear both did stand-up. What was the name of it again?
It's called The Unsuitable Language Comedy and Cocktails Nightcap Show.
It's a late show.
Wow, that just rolls right off the tongue.
Yeah. It's Comedy and Cocktails is basically what I call it, but it's at the Bop Stop, which is a nice jazz venue in Ohio City.
Mm-hmm. I've heard of it.
Yeah, we do a monthly there with John Wellington and Kristen Galewood. So, yeah, Jordan did his first set in front of an audience in about 2 years, and it was a lot of fun. And then we played a drinking game where if you get a trivia question wrong, you have to do a shot of Old Granddad.
What were the trivia questions?
Either about Cleveland, which Kristen Galewood wrote, and most of them were about people that have been murdered in Cleveland, because Kristen is a very dark lady. Comedy, which I wrote all those questions, and cocktails, which...
Give me some of the comedy trivia.
I don't think you're going to know any of these, because I wrote specifically about Cleveland comedy.
Oh.
All right, let's see if you know this one.
None of them are Jordan Patrick.
No.
None of the answers are Jordan
Patrick. None
of those
are ever going to be that.
All right. You may know that the Accidental Comedy series started as Chucklefuck, but do you know who originally came up with the name Chucklefuck? Was it A, Jim Tews, B, Ramon Rivas, C, Kerry Callahan, or D, Donnie Anderson?
I do know this one.
It was Jim Tews.
It was not. It was Kerry Callahan.
I thought it was Kerry Callahan.
Kerry Callahan.
I don't actually know who that person is.
Yeah, she started the mic at Bella W, called it Chuckle Fuck. It was originally conceived as a mixed media thing. She had spoken word, poetry, and stand-up. And then she moved to Chicago and gave the show to Jim. And that's when, like, it became all stand-up. And, like,
interesting.
His experiments. Like, he was the one that had the show with the projected comments as people were doing stand-up, which got a little more mean than I think he wanted. But he also tried to do a show on Chat Roulette. And
I have a buddy in Omaha towards a show. That's exactly that.
Yeah, how many dicks are on that?
I wasn't in town last time he came to Pittsburgh, but I don't know. I heard it was a good show. Speaking of whiskey and misadventures in comedy, Ramon was touring with Ron Funches and came through Pittsburgh like 2 weeks ago. I went to go just see the show, and I'm hanging out in the lobby with Ramon. He's doing the merch for Ron, and I'm just drinking. And like 10 minutes before the show, Ramon's like, "You want to do 5 minutes?" And I'm like, three double whiskeys in. I'm like, I sure do. Like a fucking sold out show. And I just go, I mean, it was fine, but like I had no intentions of
being right.
And I'm like fucking hammered.
They're like, what? And then I'm like, no, I'm here to drink.
Yeah, what's that? What was I going to do? Like, I'm just being social. I don't want this huge opportunity. No. I'd rather have this well whiskey than having.
Yeah. Well, you, fortunately, do not only identify as your alcoholism, so you have a personality, so it works out.
I think I identify as my alcoholism, and just drug use in general. Well, I did, rather. I guess I don't anymore.
Yeah, it would be difficult for us to work together if you were completely defined by your addictions.
Yeah.
Why is that?
I'm currently clean and sober.
Yeah.
I don't brag about it.
I know.
This fucking guy over here.
I fucking let him sleep at my house. Great, cool. I can't even do drugs when he's around.
Well, how long have you been sober, man?
It's been about a year.
Yep. Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. It's not.
Well, you still look like you're on drugs all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, which is one of the reasons that I don't talk about it, but...
Because nobody believes me.
Yeah. Nobody.
You're clean. All right, dude. Okay. Sure, I'm sure you are, man. Yeah.
But the other thing is, you know, we started this talking about people that are completely defined by one particular pop culture thing, and I despise 12-step culture, and I despise, you know, people that are consistently looking for validation by pointing out the fact that they don't do drugs and they don't drink, like. You know, I'm not a big straight edge guy, so I don't want that to define who I am.
Yeah.
I don't want to be the sober guy.
Well, I went through that because I claimed straight edge for a long time. I have a giant straight edge tattoo, and I talk about it in my act. And that's, here's the thing with my straight edge experience. I started claiming straight edge when I was 14 in my hometown. I didn't know another straight edge person. I had heard about it, and I was like, that's me. I want to identify.
Right.
So I went through this when I was a kid. And then when I moved to Pittsburgh, it was the first time I'd ever associated with other straight edge people, and it was when I started hating straight edge.
Yeah.
As soon as I met other people, because like in my hometown, my experience with straight edge, I was just rebelling against my friends who had started experimenting with drugs and alcohol, so I just went the other way. That was really the catalyst for it. But as soon as I started to get like, finding out what straight edge culture actually was when I moved to Pittsburgh, I hated it so fucking much. And so I don't claim that anymore, but I used to have a joke in my act about how, because I hate when comedians going up like, I've been sober for this many years, and they get their fucking bullshit applause break like that they didn't earn. And I would go up and like, I've been sober for 25 years, and people apply. I'm like, it was the first 25 years. I've been drinking pretty steadily for the past 8-10 years. People do the sobriety at the end of their life. I just got it out of the way. I think it's a more efficient way. I think it's a more fun way to live your life.
Absolutely. I just got to the point where it was like, I have a hard enough time controlling myself when I'm sober because I have manic episodes. So it's like, you know, I don't need anything else to fuel that, or I will actually go on a mass shooting. Like, it's just.
Well, we're gonna get fucking. This is gonna get red flagged. This whole episode's gonna get
red
flagged.
I've been red flagged for years. I'm on somebody's list. I don't really care.
You're on my list of friends.
Oh, you're on my friend list.
But do you think because you had that negative experience in the formative years of your life where you discovered that this thing that you've latched onto is actually terrible, is do you think that might be why that you're looking at people that are basically doing the same thing with a more inane thing?
Yeah, I don't think I've ever tangibly made that connection, but that it totally makes sense because it was something that I identified myself with. And like when you're a kid, when you're a teenager, you're struggling for identity all the time. Mm-hmm. And my daughters are going through it right now. And so I was claiming straight edge. I was claiming punk. I was claiming I'm a skater or whatever the label is. But you mm-hmm. just want to be defined by whatever it is. You don't want to be a jock or just whatever. We've all seen Breakfast Club. But that's every archetype is described in that movie.
Yeah.
And you know, I wanted to be a Judd Nelson. And when I, you know, you go through those years and then you become you kind of become the person you're going to become in your 20s. And like, yeah, so I went through this thing where I didn't want to identify with this group of people and this thing anymore. And then I just left the drug-free lifestyle altogether for other reasons. And it was a subconscious connection because I never really thought of it in those terms because I never think about my years as being straight edge anymore. Mm-hmm. But yes, now when I see this, it makes me mad, and then again it makes me sad because it's just so empty. Yeah,
yeah, it's very empty if you're just a thing, and that's all you are.
Well, it's empty if you're just a thing, and labels are not the best thing in general, just in general speaking. But like if you're identifying your own self with something that you didn't create. Like, I don't mind being defined as a comedian because I'm doing it and I'm creating this thing. But like, if you're being defined because you like Tito's vodka, like that's fucking goofy to me. I don't know. I mean, Tito's is great. It's a great product. But like, it's just I don't know. I'm a Tito's girl. Like, all right. I have a friend who just like loves Tostino's pizza rolls and is not an ironic thing anymore. I'm like, no, this is a real thing.
Yeah.
You really like this horrible product.
I mean, I'm defined by my love of chili dogs sometimes, so I understand loving horrible things.
We need to get chili dogs soon.
Oh, we didn't talk about bacon.
Oh
bacon, God, people.
Dude, there's a
Have you ever had bacon?
Dude, there's a place in Cleveland now that like it's called the Proper Pig Smokehouse. Uh-huh. And I was like looking at their menu. You
Craft
can get
beer.
Bacon.
Another one. I'm down.
No, absolutely.
The floodgates are open now.
But like bacon on a stick, it's $5. I just assume it's like just pork belly, like on a stick. I'm like, is that necessary? Is that necessary?
It's not unnecessary.
I'd eat it, but I'm just saying it's not necessary.
No, that's bacon. Look, the bacon love created something awful. Bacon flavored vodka.
Ew.
Yeah.
Little bacon and bacon teenies. People make martinis with bacon in them and stuff. Which wouldn't be the worst thing, but bacon flavored vodka in the first place.
Yeah, it doesn't taste like bacon. It tastes like somebody poured MSG into a bottle with Everclear, shook it up, and then.
Here you go.
Yeah.
And I know because I've done that a bunch.
You look like you created
and
bacon
really,
vodka.
I'm not even mad about the bacon culture. I'm mad that I didn't do it first, put the bacon in the vodka. So I've been doing that for a long time.
Yeah, you guys are poser bacon people.
Bacon is not even the top five pork products. Because if you talk about all the other cured meats, you got prosciutto, you got copacetic, you got capicola.
Yep.
I'm sorry, gabagool for the Sopranos fans.
Gabagool.
It's just, bacon's not that good. But I am a big fan of...
Sausage, bratwurst. I've...
I do like bacon desserts, though.
Maple bacon donut?
Like that, or a piece of chocolate-covered bacon. Because I don't ever order bacon. Like, if I get breakfast, I'm always
get sausage.
Yeah. I never order bacon. I'm never, like, bacon cheeseburger kind of guy. Or I hate things wrapped in bacon, because, like, all that means is, like, the thing that it's wrapped in is overcooked, and the bacon isn't cooked right.
Yeah.
Like, when you have bacon-wrapped shrimp or scallops or something, it's just, like, neither thing is good now.
So we identify as anti-bacon culture. But we don't look like we identify.
It's something we have to scream from the roof. It's something that I identify as anti-bacon culture, but if I don't tell anybody, no one will ever know.
No one will know.
We got some shit to plug.
Yeah, we do. First, we have to say thank you very much to Paul Wolf from I Can't Read and Lousy Weather Media for having us in his studio tonight to record. We generally are at Milky Way Recordings, but we pulled some strings, and Paul was very accommodating, and we thank you for your time. We have to shout out Sam Holmes, who did our logo. You can find her on Instagram. It's at Sam Holmes. It's Sam like Holmes like you. Yeah. Yeah, I fucked up my own plug
that's
I've
great.
Been doing for 40 episodes. It's Holmes like you live in, not Holmes like you hang with. And thank you very much to our sponsors, Chad Weaver, at Weaver Chad on the Twitter. His next thing is just follow him. He's always doing something.
He's being adorable.
He's being adorable. He has a monthly show at the Rialto Theater called Thrill or Be Thrilled, and he is a part of Pizza Money, who has a monthly sketch show in the basement of Mayhalls. Both are a fun time. Our other sponsors, Chris Clem, at Chris underscore Clem. He does the C4 pod, Chris Clem's Cavs Cast. When there is breaking Cavs news this off season, you can get his takes on it. And you can find him at Chicago improv shows around the area. And he always comes back to do stuff here with us. And our other sponsors, Britt Fox, X Fox Rocks on the Snapchat and Instagram, and Jess Falstich at Epic Fall on Instagram and Twitter. You can see her every Sunday at the Avenue Tap House in Lakewood, Ohio, hosting the showcase there that Spider Jones runs. Jess Falstich is the woman that keeps that show running. And of course, Plight of the Stripper Herder. You can find that at PlightOfTheStripperHerder.blogspot.com. It is a chronicle of one man's experience in the strip club industry over many years of work, and all the fun that comes with that.
And also, don't miss us. September 9th in Kalamazoo, Michigan listeners. We have the Sad Boys Social Club and Let the Hate Flow Through You are coming to do live shit. And we will be recording, so come be part of the audience. It's only $5.
I wonder at what point of these plugs, what percentage of your audience shuts your podcast?
Actually, we release commercials that actually do pretty well. Like, we release them separately, yeah, not just pre-roll them, and they have people listen to them.
Yeah, people listen to the commercials. That's how good I am at talking into a microphone.
But Shakespeare's in Shakespeare's lower level, Kalamazoo, Saturday, September 9th. We will be in town. Sad, two episodes of Let the Hate Flow Through You. And then Sad Boys Social Club's doing their thing, and then we're gonna be partying. So
yeah,
when's this airing?
This will be next Monday.
Next Monday, yeah.
Monday the seventh.
Yeah,
yeah. So where will you be?
So I'll be at Max in Lansing, Michigan. Then ooh, I'll be in Indianapolis the 8th, Madison the 9th. Eau Claire, Wisconsin, the 10th. No one's going to go to any of these things. I'll be in Minneapolis the 14th, 15th, and 16th.
You at Acme? Or?
I do clubs. That was really cute of you. That was really. Oh, Jerry, that was fucking adorable. Yeah, you're going to be at the best club, comedy club in the country? No, surprisingly, I will not be.
Only club sandwiches, right?
You're good enough to do it. That's why I asked.
Well, that's very nice of you, but no one seems to agree with you.
That is a problem.
No, I'm just doing all the independent shows. If you follow me, John Dick Winters, I'm John Dick Winters on all social media. I'll be posting about those shows. But yeah, I'll be all through Michigan, Wisconsin, Indiana, Minnesota, Iowa, and then back through Columbus, Ohio, August 18th. I'll be at Rehab Tavern headlining there.
All right.
Right on.
So we've got listeners in all those spots, so check out John Dick Winters while he's on tour. John, thank you so much for coming in tonight, man.
Thanks for doing it.
Appreciate it.
So, Jordan, I don't think we're going to find anybody that hates pop culture savants as much as John Dick Winters.
No, there is another. The world dies again. I'm a rapid offender. You can see right through my skin. I don't care about making mistakes. I keep standing up and falling on my face. Feed me nothing ages. Drag me to the ring. Another discharge may burn. Daniel's in drunkenness. I keep my bruise and my brain. And under the blood.
This has been a Lousy Weather Media Network production. Find new episodes and archives at lousyweathermedia.com.
This episode of Let the Hate Flow Through You is brought to you by Chris Clem.
Oh no, it's Gojira.
No, that is a no wizard.
Oh, it's just a fat new western goober.
What you want, fat man? Micah Bowser? Here in New Orleans. Go away.
Who is a Mike Bowser?
Very powerful wizard.
Meanwhile, in the Big Easy.
Boy, oh boy. I sure do enjoy being a writer down here in New Orleans. Nothing could ever bring me down. Oh no! It's Chris Clem! You will not destroy my village, you beast! Be gone with you back to Chicago! Oh no! He's too powerful! Curse you, giant! Your precious PH Comedy Theater will not survive the month. Ha ha ha. You'll never make another house team, you brute. Enjoy your sports ball minicast, sucker.
That's Chris Clem.